Welcome back to West Coast XE. I'm your host, Ken Martinez. If you're watching on YouTube, please press the subscribe button. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please press the follow button. We really appreciate the support. On today's episode, we talk to Oliver Hinson of Dystat, and he gives us the lowdown of distance events and athletes we should be aware of in Nike Outdoor Nationals, which will be in Eugene, Oregon, at Hayward Field at the University of Oregon. Also, an interesting topic that we talk about is Oliver also wrote with Dave Devine and Dystat about the roster limits that are being imposed on Division I schools in track and field and cross country. So he writes about that, and then we talk about some of the impact that's had since that article was written in March. This past weekend, I was busy. I was at two big events in the Northwest. Wednesday through Saturday, I was at the NCAA Championship, and I took a bunch of photos and put it on our website at westcoastxc.com. You can also go to our bio on Instagram at westcoastxc and look through the galleries. So from Wednesday through Saturday, I have the distance running galleries there. I also took a lot of pictures of field events and also sprints and hurdles. And those can be found on Dystat's website, and you can check those out too. Then on Sunday, I went to Lewis and Clark College to watch the Portland Track Festival and take photos there. We also have galleries up for that. The two major highlights was high school athletes doing amazing things. One was Tavon Kitchen of Crater, was trying to run in the low 13s in the 5,000, was right there in the mix with about a mile to go, and then unfortunately fell. Got up and still broke 14 in the 5,000, which is pretty incredible for a high school athlete. And then his teammate, Josiah Tostenson of Crater, and Josiah's future teammate, Owen Powell of Mercer Island, ran the 1,500, and they both ran 3:36, which is the second and third fastest time in the history of the 1,500 in high school. And so you can see those photos on our website and on our bio and our Instagram account. But let's listen now to our friend Oliver as he talks about the Nike Outdoor Nationals. Well, we want to welcome back Oliver Hinson from Dystat. Hey, Oliver.
Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
Good. We had Oliver back on in March for Nike Indoor, and it seems appropriate to have him on again for Nike Outdoor. But before we talk about Nike Outdoor, I'd like to talk about an article that you and Dave Devine did on Dystat. On the changes of the cross country and track scholarship allotment, team sizes. Can you describe some of the changes that have been made?
So yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a very complicated kind of thing. At the point that we wrote it, this is before the settlement. This is when the settlement had been preliminarily approved. So essentially what we were looking at then is scholarship limits and roster limits kind of changing. So now what it looks like is the number of scholarships on a team that opts into the settlement is going to be the same as the roster limit. So it means more scholarships, but less roster spots. So, you know, there's good and there's bad. And what that means for all Power Four schools and for any other schools that opt into the settlement, it means cross country teams will only have 17 roster spots and track teams will only have 45. But we've heard, you know, some conferences may want to go even lower than that. We were hearing in the fall rumors that, you know, the SEC would go down to 10 guys for cross country and 35 for track, which, man, that's just not, it's just not enough, you know?
Right.
And so we kind of covered, We tried to cover every side of it. You know, we talked to high school athletes, college athletes, high school coaches, and college coaches. And kind of what we gathered is, you know, college coaches and college athletes are kind of in it right now. They're fearing the worst. There's been so many guys that have been told, you know, your roster spot's gone. But we did get some good news after. Shouldn't say good news. I'm a journalist, but as a person, I think a lot of people would agree. We saw some news, I'll say, in the final approval of the settlement. We saw that Rust, like track teams will be able to, you know, all teams will be able to grandfather in current athletes. They're not going to be mandated to, but they will be allowed to. So, and we've seen some schools say that, yes, we will grandfather in current athletes so they won't lose their roster spots, which, you know, that's nice for those kids. They'll be able to keep living the dream. But mm-hmm. as far as high school kids, you know, the whole big gist, the whole reason that, you know, high school kids, like a lot of these kids probably at Nike Outdoors, even maybe not in the championship divisions, but some other kids are kind of going to be freaking out, because the gist is recruiting standards are way, way, way higher. I mean, you're talking about, if you want to go to a power four school as a freshman, as a boy, you've got to be running probably, I don't know, 405, 410 in the mile, 9 flat in the 2 mile. That won't cut it anymore. You got to be pretty far into the eights. We're really seeing a game where that, you know, that high level dream is kind of only accessible to just the top of the top, which is something that a lot of people are pretty upset about.
You know, the article that you and Dave wrote, I would encourage people to Google it. Oliver Hinson, Dave Devine. It's a 2-part series, and you interviewed just a bunch of different people. You know, some of the people you interview, I take pictures of their teams, take picture of the athletes from a high school perspective, from a college perspective. It's really excellent. So I would encourage people to do that. I will say, you know, I was a coach here in Oregon for over 30 years, and the University of Oregon would do this interesting recruiting thing. You know, Oregon recruits at a national level, an international level, but they would send out, you know, they would, you know, kindly give out probably a partial scholarship to an Oregon kid who is not a 405, 1600 meter runner, could not break 9 minutes in the 2 mile. We were on the 15 and the 3000 year, but didn't have those kind of numbers, but or even on the girls' side too, on the women's side too. But they would be on the team, and then on the fourth or fifth year would be their fifth runner, and they would win the NCAA. And I have several stories like that where their fifth and sixth runners were just regular Oregon. Well, there were great Oregon runners. They were great high school runners in Oregon, but they were not, you know, we call them basketball or football, 5 or 4-star or 3-star athletes. So mm-hmm. that is going to be really hard to have those kind of kids develop over several years to be your critical fifth runner in cross country.
Absolutely. I mean, probably the word I heard most in my interviews, like I probably heard this word 100 times, is what you said, is development. You know, that's kind of the major thing that people see is going away. Cause like you said, you know, one of the coaches that I talked to, you know, he went to Syracuse and he was a guy that's, I don't know if he was ever top 5, but I think he was definitely top 7 by the time he was done with his career. And you see so many of those stories, and not only is it, you know, good for those runners individually, they get to develop as a runner and kind of live out that dream. It's also good for the teams, because, you know, when you're just trying to get the most, just the best guy immediately every time, there's a lot of turnover. And in any industry, in any team, like high levels of turnover, it's not good. It doesn't lead to cohesion. It, you know, leads to pretty poor performance. So you'll see, you know, taking away those opportunities for development, it kind of removes a lot of the cohesion. So, but on the bright side, what you might see is then kind of some lower level teams where, you know, a lot of, like, you know, let's say a lot of these guys that would be going to power four schools are now kind of going to mid-major schools. Some of those teams might be able to develop really well, build some really solid cohesion. And by the time, you know, by the time they have 4 or 5 seniors that have been there for, you know, years, they're going to be, especially in cross country. I mean, cross country, I think we'll see a lot of that. Cohesion is, you know, having a good team chemistry is just super critical in cross. So I think you'll see some excitement there. Maybe some mid-majors kind of getting in the top 5 there.
Yeah. So again, I would encourage people to type in Oliver Hinson, Dystat, Dave Devine. It's from March, but it's an excellent read today. And every day something new happens. We just had Washington State announce that they are cutting field for track and just doing distance. And so you might see more of that in the future too. It's crazy times here. But you did mention Nike Outdoors, you know, some of the kids that may not be in the championship races. Let's talk about the championship races. I want to talk about two events combined, one on Thursday, one on Friday. That's the 5,000 and then the 2,000 meter steeplechase. And the reason why I want to combine them, Oliver, it's events that you don't see in dual meets. You don't see in league championships, state meets, a lot of invitationals. And so it's kind of hard to predict and wonder what kids are doing. But who are some kids that you see shining in the 5,000, which will be on Thursday, and the 2,000 steeplechase on Friday?
So in the 5K, I would say, you know, on the guy's side, we have Charlie Vowles. I think he's going to be your top guy. And I think it'll be interesting to see kind of how well he does. You know, he was definitely someone that shined, obviously really shined in the cross country season. You're NXN champion, probably, you know, quite a bit more so than in track, but you know, maybe he's just one of those, you know, really slow twitch guys. And maybe he's someone that on the college stage is going to do really well. So I'm looking forward to seeing him, you know, compete in this 5K. I don't know how fast he'll be able to go, because I mean, I feel like he's going to be a pretty clear favorite. So I don't know if he'll have much competition, but should be, you know, pretty solid. It'll be pretty decent weather. So I think we'll see something in the low 14s. You know, I don't know if he can match what Tavon did, you know, at Portland Track Fest. Man, that was a tough race to watch. He was on pace for 13 low. But anyway,
yeah, he fell down on Sunday.
Yeah,
he still broke 14, which is pretty darn amazing. Yeah,
right. And then, you know, the girls 5K is going to be pretty fun. It's, you know, I think as in terms of a race to watch, in terms of competitive race, it might be the best out of all the distance races, because it's the one that doesn't have Jane Hedengren just destroying everyone. Mm-hmm. I would say Riley Blade is probably a pretty good pick there. I mean, I was really impressed. I was there at Nike Indoors when she kind of, you know, went pretty far with Jane in that 5K. And I believe, if I'm not wrong, she also broke the previous
record.
Yeah, she wasn't too far off Jane. So, you know, if we can see another performance like that, you know, she was the 3200 champion in California. Like, she's clearly really good at the long stuff. So I think we'll see another pretty good performance from her. I was, you know, Maki is in that one too. We've seen her do well in the longer stuff as well. She's been pretty good across. So I think we'll see. I think Riley and Zariel will do pretty well in there. I think we'll definitely see Zariel kind of go to the front, or at least try to stay there and really compete in the pack there. But yeah, I'd probably pick Riley.
Mm-hmm. But you're right. There are a lot of young ladies in that race that have done great things in their individual states.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be fun. It's going to be very competitive. It'll be fun.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And then the steeplechase, you know, that's an event that's hard to pick. You know,
I don't know. It is, because they don't do it.
They don't do it.
Yeah. They'll put their foot in the water jump and go, what happened? You know?
Yeah. So, you know, maybe the best bet is, you know, on the girls' side, we have Victoria Rodriguez. She was a champion last year, correct?
Yep.
So, you know, maybe that'll be just that experience, you know, having that chip on her shoulder, like maybe that'll be, you know, enough to carry her through. And I think she's performed pretty well this season. So I'd say that's probably a fair pick for that event. Then guys, I mean, boy, I don't know.
It's wide open.
I'll be honest, that is one that I really don't know. You've got two pretty good guys, you know, Simon Barlow, Aiden Wendring. I mean, could be a toss-up between either two of those guys. I think it'll be, and I think, you know, the interesting thing about the steeplechase that is, it is a whole lot less, especially on the high school level, I feel like it's going to be a whole lot less about fitness and more about, like, just technique and, like, who has practiced going over barriers, who has practiced water jumps. And we don't know that. Right. So like, I think if it's really going to come down to who's been practicing the right way for the
Yeah.
steeplechase. And I think we'll definitely see that
Right.
on Friday.
You can't really, I mean, you can practice hurdles on a high school track. You'd have to ask permission from a college to, but then you'd have to fill the water jump. I mean, it's really hard to practice that. And they probably
Yeah.
don't have the water jump filled. You know, it's just, again, like I said, they put their feet the first time in that water. They're like, whoa, this is not the 1500. This is way
No.
different. So then on Saturday, we are back to familiar races. We have the 800 and the 3000. Although most high schools don't run the 3000, but they're pretty familiar with that close distance to the 32. There's some big names we're going to see on Saturday.
Absolutely. I'm really excited for this boys 800. I mean, I feel like this the whole year long has been a really, really strong event. That race in Seattle a few weeks ago was just amazing. Where Cooper broke the national record. I was there for that. And just boy, watching him, Owen, Tiago, just go at it like that. That was a race. And I wrote in my preview, it's kind of silly to bet against Cooper at this point, and I never would. I really like Cooper. He's a phenomenal athlete, great kid. And I think he's definitely the favorite, but I am really interested to see Quentin Aumann in this race. He is a guy that has just so much momentum. People are still talking about that Iowa State meet performance. I mean, and for good reason. You run 149, 350, 359, 857, and then to top it off, split a 147. Like, that's just insane. And then to go kick at that race in St. Louis a few weeks ago, beat one of the best, beat just a stacked field at Hoka. I mean, that was incredible. I don't think any of us were really expecting that. I mean, we had five sub four guys in that field, but man, that was Quentin closed in what, 54? So I think if anyone, I said this for Brooks, I'll say it for this race too. If there are definitely guys in this field that will challenge Cooper. And I think Quentin's got guts, and I think he'll really go after it. And
You
you'll
know,
see.
well, I was just going to say that we are going to say goodbye to a lot of these amazing seniors. Quentin is a junior, is that correct?
Yes, Quentin's a junior. Like that's the scary part, dude. Quentin's
Yeah.
got a whole well, and I mean even scarier is Cooper's a sophomore. That's
Correct.
just
So we could see this again
ridiculous.
next year too. Yeah.
Yeah. This might be like this could be a race that I know Quentin is more of a miler, but still, this could be a matchup we see a few times, which is super cool. And you'll also have some pretty good guys in the field. Maybe we'll see. A guy like Luke Bone, guy like Bryson Nielsen, maybe we'll see them kind of try to stay with Cooper and Quentin. I don't think it'll necessarily just be those two. I think maybe coming down the home stretch it'll be those two, but I think you'll definitely see a pretty strong pack.
Yeah, it'll be exciting.
And girls 800, Lily Alder, two-time Utah State champion.
Right.
Good name to pick there. I mean, she's been pretty dominant in the 800 and the mile this year. I believe she was the mile champion of Brooks PR, if I'm remembering correctly. And just being teammates with Jane, like that's just getting to train around that. I mean,
Right. It's
yeah,
amazing.
it's amazing. So I think she's definitely a pretty good pick, but you'll have a lot of good names in that one. Sophia Bendit, Ellie Barada, but I definitely would say Lily is probably the favorites in that one. 3000s, let's see. I mean, you've also got some good names in that one. I'm just gonna go ahead and say the girls is pretty open and shut. I think Jane Hedengren, that's gonna be her first final of the weekend. And I think so. She's in the 3K and the mile. So the question really for both of those is, does she lower her own national records?
Yeah.
I would say in the 3K, there is a much better shot.
It's in the evening and it's not, it's going to be nice weather for distance runners.
Decently, I think it'll be a little rainy, but it'll be 50s, and it'll be a lot better than the weather at Brooks PR. You know, she ran, I think I would like that was one of the most impressive performances I've ever seen. 9:17 in I think it was 88 degrees, direct, like no shade whatsoever, completely solo, and it was 3 days after running 4:23. Like, who does that?
And she's
Like,
flying across the country. Yeah, it's just like it's a
yeah,
lot.
like that was insane. So if she's had, you know, two weeks to recover and sharpen since then, I think with better weather, and I mean those there are also like that 3K national record that was on route. That was, you know, she ran 8:40 in the, like, obviously it's not quite. It's not that much different than a 2 mile. Like, she wasn't saving that much, but still, I think she could definitely go pretty well into the 8:30s in this
Wow,
race.
that's amazing. It's just amazing.
Yeah. I'm like, just incredible. The fact that she was number seven or number eight, number seven all time for US women in the 2 mile. Like, we've never, I look, I haven't been around this game for that long, but I will say I've never, she's the most talented high schooler I've ever watched. Just
Interesting. We've had so many in the last 5 or like 10 years or so. And she's top them. I would say the same thing. There's just like
yeah.
I was not, unfortunately, at Brooks PR, but I saw it on my phone that she ran 9:17. I thought that was a 3,000. I thought she ran a 3,000, 9:17. Like
Right.
I can't wrap my mind around that she ran was it a 3,200 or was it a 2 mile?
It was a full 2 mile.
Yeah, so that's incredible. That's farther than the 3,200. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like, and just what got me there also is just she's a metronome. Like, just the pacing was like, you just look at all those laps, like they're just dead on every time. It's just miraculous. I'm like, I think it's incredible.
Well, I was
So
at Arcadia and they were yelling her splits and she was like 5 or 6 seconds ahead of the record. Well, that's something you expect from a high school kid the first 2 or 3 laps. Seventh lap, here it's the same thing. And it was like, wow, she's by herself too. It's just like it's crazy.
Yeah, we saw her go through in like what 4:40-ish, like a little under 4:40 for the first mile, and I think, you know, we were like, well, that's pretty hot. We'll see if she keeps that kind of pace. And she did. And she actually negative split, I think. I think her second mile was like 4:38, 4:37.
It's
Just
interesting, Oliver, because usually we'll have the USATF or Olympic trials the last week of June, early July, and it would just make perfect sense for some of these kids, high school kids, if they are pretty decent, to just roll into that and just see what happens. This is a little more complicated. It's at the end of July, now you're talking her freshman year at BYU in cross country. So it'll be interesting to see, because she has a shot of making one of those teams for the US. But do you want to extend your track season that deep? And does that compromise your cross country season? I don't know how that works, but we'll see.
Probably not. You know, I would say I agree she would have a very good shot to make a US team, but I don't know if she'll pursue that, you know, and that's probably not a super high chance. You know, maybe, but no, I would say she's probably looking ahead to BYU. And like you said, yeah, it's super, it's tough to extend your season that far. I don't think she would want to do that.
In the boys 3000, you have some interesting names in there too. Corbin Coombs is like listed in three distance events, at least the individual events. It'll be interesting which one he chooses, but if he chooses this one, he looks pretty good in this event.
I mean, hey, kid loves to race. You know, I've gotten to see Corbin a few times. You know, he's a great competitor. It'll be interesting. That's Charlie's also in that race, so a little bit of New Mexico rivalry.
Yeah, that'd be fun to watch.
I think that'll be fun to watch, and I think those two will probably go out pretty fast. And I think it'll be between those two. You know, we've got Malachi from Oregon. So I think he's also, maybe he'll have, you know, a little chip on his shoulder being on home turf relatively.
He seemed very happy with his 5,000 at the Portland Track Festival. He was putting his arms in the air. I think he ran really, I mean, he's running with pros and collegiate athletes. And he held his own there.
Yeah. Do you remember what time he ran? I don't remember.
I don't know. I just was editing my photos from that race. And I have this picture of him with his arms in the air. And I remember when that happened. And I was like, he must, I don't know. I forgot. I think I did look it up, but I forgot.
Well, still, regardless, I know he's kind of peaking at the right time. Yeah. So, you know, maybe competing at Hayward, kind of give him a little boost. So yeah, I think that'll be an interesting race there.
And then on Sunday is, you know, like all good meets, you want to end the distance races with a mile. And you talked about Jane Hendegren. That is a really tough thing to run like in the evening, like at 7, maybe it's gonna be like 7:30 o'clock, you know, 7:30 in the evening, Saturday, and then come back around 1 or so or 2 early.
Yeah. Day. Yeah. I think it's like early afternoon.
So it's kind of a hard thing to come, no matter how great you are, to come back. That's hard. That's hard to go big distance, then to smaller distance. But she's going to try it. And there's other, some pretty, and actually there's other kids that have done the same. They're doing either the 3000 or the 800 the day before too. So.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, the question is, can Jane Hendegren do the most Jane Hendegren thing of all time and break her national record in the 3K, come off that short rest and then run lower than 4:23, which if she did break that record, she would also most likely break the collegiate record as a high schooler, which is just incredible. I would say there is probably a lower chance of her breaking that record than the 3K, but you don't bet against Jane. People should have learned their lesson by now. Like, it's just, you don't bet against a generational talent like that. And these are her last high school races. Like, she's going to want to go out on top. Like, this is, and she's a Nike athlete. Like, this is going to be like everything for her. Yeah. So
Hayward Field, it's going to be wonderful. On the boys' side, you have two guys that have broken the 4-minute barrier. If they have a pacer, they could bring some more guys. If it's just a strategic race, then we'll see something different.
Yeah, I would say I think you're more likely to see a kind of tactical race. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if we'll see anyone break 4. I mean, we could, but I think it's going to be more of a racer's race. I would say, like I said about the 800, Quentin Amundsen in this race too, and he's got a ton of momentum. So I think we'll see good things out of him. Corbin's listed in this race too. So I think between him and Quentin, that'll be a pretty strong race there. But we'll also see Evan Noonan, who just recently, I think, ran a PR in the mile. I think he ran 4:03.
Right. I saw that at the Stanford Invitational. He ran 4:03. And then I saw a video on Instagram where they were doing his practice and his dad was coaching him and they were saying they would love to break the 4-minute barrier before he finishes high school, and he's running out of time.
Yes. So
I don't know what Nike is planning, if they're having somebody go out and set the pace or if they're just, last year, I think they just raced. And so I don't know.
Yeah.
That what's going to happen here.
Yeah, I don't believe there would be one. I think it'll definitely be, you know, a championship style race. But I mean, hey, if these are guys that, you know, this is probably going to be their last chance. If they're going to decide that, yeah, we want to break 4 in our last race, then they're certainly capable. You know, I mean, you've got guys like, if Quentin and Corbin kind of go to the front and they're racing each other and they're on a pretty hot pace, and anyone who, you know, wants to follow them, they might have a pretty good shot at breaking 4. I think it could happen. But I think that one is definitely going to be more of, I'm going to want to see, you know, we'll have some questions. How fast does Quentin close in that one? You know, how, like, is he going to be, I think if he wins that race, and I think if he, I mean, if he wins the 800 too, if he pulls off the double here, if he wins the 800, 1600, I think he will be just the undisputed best guy in the country heading into next year.
Absolutely.
So best distance runner for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll be, he's a guy that I'm really excited to see what he does. And I think a lot of people are really excited to see what he does.
I'm looking forward to it too. Looking forward to all the meet. Oliver, you wrote a preview on Dystat that just not only covers the distance events, but the field events and the sprints and hurdles. It's going to be amazing. Yes. So check out Oliver's article on Dystat. Did it come out on Tuesday?
Came out yesterday.
Okay. So check that out. Also check out the article he did with Dave Devine back in March on the college changes for Division I. Excellent article. It's really great because it's like this narrative on different schools and different individuals and different, you know, they all have different needs and priorities. It's excellent. So check that out. And
thank you. And then I have to say, I mean, I can't take all the credit for that one, of course. I mean, you said it's me and it's Dave Devine, and Dave has been doing this a lot longer than I have. And he's just, you read any article by Dave Devine,
that he's outstanding.
Just incredible. He just wrote one, a few weeks ago about Steve Prefontaine and the boy with the string.
Right. Yeah. You have time this next few days. Check out Dave's articles too. He has some nice long form articles on Dice Stats.
Yes. He's a master of storytelling. It was an honor to work with him.
Well, Oliver, I'm looking forward to seeing you for the next 4 days in Eugene. Well, and we'll look forward to some of your recaps of the events and other things that are happening this summer in track. So have a great summer, Oliver, and we'll see you in Eugene this weekend.
Thank you. See you in Eugene.
We want to thank Oliver Hinson of Dystat for coming on and talking about Nike Outdoors Nationals and also talking about his article he wrote with Dave Devine on the roster limits that are happening this next year for Division I track and field and cross country programs. And so I would encourage you to read both of those articles. It gives you an idea of what different athletes and coaches at the high school and collegiate level are trying to navigate through this really complicated new world of track and cross country. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please press follow. We also plan to visit high schools and go to their practices and promote those schools this summer. We're going to start going to practices on Friday. If you go to our bio and you scroll down a little bit, we've got so many galleries that you might have to scroll down a little bit to our sign up form. I could put it up again on the story if you're watching this or listening to this and have it back up on our story too. But we have to make plans, and you know, teams have their plans too. So we want to make sure our schedules align. So please sign up and maybe we can come. It'd be great. Until next time, remember that West Coast is the best coast. See you next time.